In the name of the one true living God, our Creator, Provider, and Savior, the Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, it was natural for the 12 apostles to expect a life of privilege since they were chosen by Jesus to be his closest, most special followers. After all, they saw he could feed thousands just by blessing 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. He could heal the sick and had power over the elements of nature. Multitudes followed him. He taught them with authority, even silencing leaders who opposed him. Jesus stated that Peter's confession that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God, is the very foundation of the Christian church and the keys that open the kingdom of heaven. Privately, Jesus explained to his disciples that for the requirement of being the Christ, the Son of the living God, he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. Neither Peter nor the other 11 disciples understood that as the Savior of the world, Jesus came to suffer and die to secure the redemption of his people, his body, the church. They did not like the idea that he came to die. Yet Jesus had even more uncomfortable news for them. Brothers and sisters, it was shocking for the 12 to hear that Jesus foretold his own execution. His death would mean the end of all their hopes and expectations of privilege. Still, after telling them about his own upcoming sufferings and death, he added, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." He himself was going to carry his own cross. He told them that he was going to suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed. This was his mission as the Christ, the Son of the living God. Brothers and sisters, let us take note. Jesus never taught anything which he did not practice. At the beginning of the book of Acts of the Apostles, the evangelist Luke pointed this out about his gospel narrative, saying, "I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach." Jesus already had exercised great self-denial by submitting to take on himself our finite human nature as the Christ, the Son of the living God. The Apostle Paul described this vividly in the Epistle to the Philippians, saying that Jesus, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. So following Jesus means following one who denied himself. He did not deny his identity. Rather, he took to himself a much lower form, the form of a manservant. In this way, he chose the full appearance of a very humble human being. He did not choose an earthly life of ease or comfort, nor did he own anything. In the gospel, he is asserted as he who came not to be served, but to serve and lay down his life as a ransom for many. Let us take notice that as the Christ, the Son of the living God, he knew that the ones who would inflict sufferings and injustices on him and crucify him as a criminal were the same leaders of Israel, the elders and chief priests and scribes, the same ones who were supposed to know the Holy Scriptures and God's instructions about justice and self-giving love. Jesus also knew that the same people would persecute his followers and do their best to hamper the spread of the good news of salvation. This is documented in the book of Acts of the Apostles. most sufferings inflicted on the earthly church were at the hands of such people. The apostles and all followers of Jesus were not promised worldly comfort or prestige. He told them, "In the world, you will have tribulations." Jesus knew that it was not going to be easy for the apostles to understand or accept that their powerful, sinless master would be subjected to such sufferings and even die the shameful death of a criminal on a cross. They needed to be prepared ahead, and it took a lot of preparing. That included seeing it happen before their own eyes. Still, it was not believable. They simply could not accept it. Then they all ran away, fearing for their own lives. This was understandable. How could the mighty miracle worker look so weak and helpless? Yet they were told of more than self-denial. Jesus told them to expect a greater obligation. "They are to carry their own crosses," he said. "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Carrying one's own cross was the job of criminals condemned to death. A criminal carried the cross on which he was to be crucified. Jesus himself had to do that. Clearly, Jesus wanted the 12 to realize the actual cost of following him. It could mean death. He spoke to them about losing and gaining one's life. He explained that those who run away from the hardship of following him are losers. He added, "For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul?" Brothers and sisters, it was necessary for the apostles to understand the real cost of being disciples of Jesus. This was not only for themselves, but also for others who would hear their preaching and follow Jesus too. The Apostle Paul, who at first had persecuted Christ's followers, later knew what it is to suffer for following Jesus. Repeatedly, he not only suffered, but also faced death. Therefore, with authority, he could preach and teach, telling the churches, "Through many trials and tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God." He wrote to the Philippians saying, "For me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. For it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ, you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake." Hallelujah. The grace of the Savior King, the Messiah of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the full blessing of the Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, abide with God's people in all nations, at all times, throughout the whole earth, by the blessed message of the gospel. Amen.